We mentioned yesterday the question, given the fact that the Gemara tells us in the Masechta Menachos at Mem Daled Amud Aleph that when a socher is chayev in Chutz Laaretz after 30 days, the question becomes, is it appropriate for an individual who's not chayev until after 30 days? Yesterday we discussed, is it possible that he really is chayev before 30 days? For one of two reasons. Either the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef's reason that he rented for a long-term lease, or Rav Shach's reason that our rentals today are the equivalent of almost of a purchase, with maybe Sfirat Kanya, because it's different than the Sfirat of the Zman HaTama, when you can, the landlord can throw the tenant out in the middle if the landlord's house fell down, etc. So let's put that aside now. Let's assume for the moment that the Socha, even today, despite the changes, is not chayiv until 30 days after he moved in. But he's a reason about people in the midst, kind of a Jew. He wants to put him in a mezuzah right away. He's nervous. Maybe he's a voodoo Jew. He's nervous living in a house with no mezuzah. He wants to put the mezuzah right away. May he do so, may he not do so. So this is something which we spoke about already a while ago, but it's time to revisit it now that we're holding on the sugya itself. So the Nachlas Tzvi that we saw yesterday, written by the Pesachei Tshuva, discusses the question of making a bracha. Can I make a bracha now, or before the Zman Chiyuvo? The Nachlas Tzvi said it's okay. Mutter. However, the Sefer Chovas Hadar thinks better not. Not a good idea to make a bracha before the end of the 30 days. And the goes into it at some length, this question, whether or not a bracha can or cannot be made. Some of the issues, if you want to look it up, it's in Perek Yud Aleph, which is the last Perek in Hilchos Mezuzah. Am I right? No. I don't believe it's Perek Yud Aleph. Different Perek. On in a minute. We discuss the pros and cons of making a bracha earlier. And it goes through on its own many of the considerations which we saw in the Sefer Nachlas Tzvi. So the question is really the sources. What do the sources say about this halacha? So, it's like this. The Pesachei Tshuva in Siman Resh Pei Vav, the Kotel Yud Zayin, open there. See, he gives a source. He doesn't pass in shadows on his own. The whole essence of Pesachei Tshuva is quoting earlier sources. He quotes an earlier source. He says, "Potzim v'mazuz alamid yom." Ayin ve'eshel Avraham barachayim simen yudalit sivkotin beit. The poshet leh the rashoy lahachmir levarich. You want to be machmir, make a bracha within 30 days in the mezuzah you may. But the Yitzhah b'shulchan aruch sham siv gimel. The talas shu'ula p'turim etitzis kol lamed yom. The kotan alagan Avraham v'shem v'shem tosis v'arosh. Which is the Mitzat Tachulin, by the way. Then mevarach lo hipsit. Mevarach lo hipsit. What does lo hipsit mean? Not a ringing endorsement. A mevarach lo hipsit means, you know, a guy who made a bracha within 30 days, he didn't lose. The same as he didn't lose over there when it comes to talis, he didn't lose over here when it comes to mezuzah. But I can take issue very easily with that based on yesterday's Nachlas Tzvi. Because, remember what he said about different shul tzadikim, about Brit Mila and the Pidyon HaBen? It all depends whether it's a one-time deal or a many-time deal. When it comes to talis, the Torah and the Rosh Tam of Aruch Lohifzik, you know why? Because it cuts two ways. If it's possible to be machmir and make a bracha within 30 days, and you did not make a bracha within 30 days, because you blew it. You should have made a bracha, really. You could have made a bracha at least, and you didn't. You mevatel a mitzvah bracha. You could have, and you didn't. So therefore, since there are those who say it's mutter to make a bracha, you were machmir that direction. Lohifzik, because it's arguable that the gain outweighs the potential loss of the potential bracha of Atal. But over here, when it comes to mezuzah, you gain nothing. What do you gain? Almost nothing. Because you only make one bracha on the mezuzah. Only once. We mentioned the Mizrahi said that Avraham Avinu didn't make a bris milah because he's not on the Sabbath, because he only make it once. That is the one you're mitzuvah. He didn't abandon the Truma Tzedeshin. Here too, for the same reason, I would beg to differ with this comparison from Talit, which the Pesach Chur himself is making over here. Then he says, I am Nachas Tzvi. If you look at Nachas Tzvi, it slugs up its whole comparison. Yes. Right. Right, but the Pesach Tshuva, he seems to be saying that someone who wants to do, make a bracha is low here, and then you're right. I mean, you're telling me that he's completing his thought process later on, even though if you look only at the Pesach Tshuva, and you didn't have an Nachas Tzvi, the margin was cut off your page, you come to a different conclusion about this, the same author wants you to reach. Okay, that's what he means. Fine. The bottom line is, therefore, it seems to me that the to make a bracha is not so simple at all. Not at all simple to make a bracha within 30 days. I tell you the truth, if you look at the Tosafot and the Rosh Chulin, they're also very misupak, they're very not ambivalent. Lo Hivsid, interesting comparison is made. They compare it to a woman making a bracha on a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So he says mutter. So too, a talit, within 30 days, you make a pasta, you can make a bracha. Now one can easily understand that that comparison is less than perfect. I don't want to go into it right now. Suffice to say, the bottom line, it seems to me, is that you should not make a bracha within the 30-day period. And the Chovas Adar goes into the whole discussion about a talis mitzuyeses, ena mitzuyeses. I believe there's a little bit imprecision there. If you want, if you don't want to look it up, but since it's in Terek Gimel, that's where it is, in Sitkotten Zion, Sitkotten Vav, Sitkotten Zion primarily. Sitkotten Zion. That's where the lengthy discussion is had. A little bit imprecise about the mitzuyeses story, but I'm just leaving that aside. So the bracha, better not to make. That's what I think. It's the reason why you should not be putting your mezuzah early and making a bracha early. So let's forget the bracha. Let's say there's no dinner bracha. You're going to put him in mezuzah, and let's say all of his, I don't know, for some reason, let's say for argument's sake, every single one of his doors does not require a bracha. There's a suffix bracha here and a suffix, but just to make a case where there's no, leave out the consideration of bracha for the moment. I believe that there's a Rabbi Kivega who suggests that if a person puts up a maybe putter from putting up a mezuzah on a doorway without a door in a rented home, because if it's rented, it'll be passed to the Rabbanah, as we said before, and the Rambam holds without a door your putter. So is there someone, I think it's Rabbi Kivega, am I right? That suggests that perhaps Sveika the Rabbanah Lakula. So even if you don't hold from that, maybe you wouldn't make a bracha. I mean, there are various considerations which can be brought to bear. Just remove for the moment the bracha consideration. But there's another problem, which we spoke about already a while ago, called Tasev Elo Min Ha'otui. A person is supposed to recover the mezuzah with the makom of his man chiyuv. We discussed it a long time ago. You shouldn't put the mezuzah onto a doorway before this complete doorway is built, the Gemara Beferesh and Masechta Menachos. So perhaps you shouldn't put the mezuzah on before 30 days, or this is relevant to another case. Let's say I'm in Eretz Yisrael, or let's say I buy a house. So I'm clear as soon as I move in. But we mentioned before, it's very hectic when I move in. I'm going to move in and take my nails and knock it in as I'm walking in with my wife and my kids. I'm knocking the nails, and everyone's screaming and yelling. It's almost an impossibility. So you need to put it a little before, a little bit after. So the question then becomes, you do it after, you miss a few minutes. The problem. The last question is, do it before. But do it before, you run into a problem, you didn't move in yet. You didn't move in yet, maybe it's the problem of Tasa Velominos. That's the question. So Yaakov asked me a kasha, and I found he was Mechavin to another then of Chaim Kinevki. Mamish. Mechavin to a Gadol B'Torah. In the Sefer Parsha Sedura, he says exactly what Yaakov said, which is that how can the process be a problem? Yaakov says this, a person putting on tzitzis on his talis, he puts the tzitzis on the talis before he puts the talis on. Did anyone in his right mind say that tzitzis have a lo min ha'osi? Lo omar odem e'olom. No one ever said that you can't put the rings on before you put the talus on your body. No one ever said that. So Yaakov makes the exact comparison over here. You first put on the mezuzah, and then you move in. The same way as you first put on the string, and then you put it on your body. That's Yaakov's comparison, which the Sefer of Parsha Sedura by Chaim Kanievsky is exactly the same thing. It's a very good story. I don't know, I couldn't answer you then, and I'm not sure to answer you now. Especially now you have a very formidable ally in your camp. But perhaps we can make the following distinction. Perhaps. First, we'll say it based on, we'll call it a practical, thorough consideration and try to find the passive source for it. What's the alternative? The alternative is that you have to first put a four-cornered garment on your body and then string the strings on while it's on you. That sounds pretty absurd. Well, just imagine. You put the four garment, and then you start stringing, and then you go behind you, and then you do that, pull it behind and start stringing. And that's so implausible and so almost ridiculous that it's just not a consideration. What? Why is it also? Well, what? But that's dangerous. It's a dangerous statement because you'll fall into the trap. Exactly. I didn't say that because if you're going to say it's usher to wear a four-cornered garment without scissors, I could also say it's usher to live in a house without a mezuzah. The answer to both questions probably is that neither is really usher as such. They're both what we call a bitul mitzvah. You're mevatel in the mitzvah every minute that you're in a house with no mezuzah and with the four corners with no scissors. But on that basis, you say, what can you do? You can't put it on earlier because it's tassable. And also, so the Torah gives you a leeway. The first opportunity you have, as soon as you move in or as soon as you put it on, let's all string it up on your body. So I'm saying it's a different consideration. It's technically almost it's very difficult to do that. String things on your body, your front, and your back, and then you go. It's just somehow inconceivable logically. Although I can convince you that it's not impossible. One could also perhaps advance as far that not everybody could put the tips on himself. You have to buy it. You'll say, okay, so hire a guy. So, you know, if you're a private tailor, you know, even if you're not a Lawrence, you're a private tailor. So you put on the garment, and then instead of tailoring it and adding, you'll string me on the right. I think you get four tailors. So that every second count, I get four tailors, the four tittus machas. And I'll put on my thing, and then at least we'll go in 3 minutes. But all this is just like a circus. I mean, no one takes this very seriously. I'm just trying to make it as ad absurdum as I can. Yes, there we go. That's the definition. Well, that's nothing shame or kum. It's nothing. Is there an issue at all? You don't have a mitzvah. You're not a mitzvah. The passion, there is no such issue. The passion is no issue, not in tzitzit and not in mezuzah. Who learned tzitzit this past year? Huh? I know in my shiur, the opening shiur was about this. Oh, was it the opening shiur? One of the first shiur. I think the first shiur. Is there an issue to eat outside the sukkah? Passion is also not. That's a Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch has problems with all these things. But there's what a Rav said. There's a mitzvah that's in the sukkah, that's all. You're not the kind of mitzvah, I'm the kind of mitzvah. Right. That's what the Mordechai was on the Mount of Moses. He mentioned that in Shir yesterday. Passion. Oh, so it's easier. Okay, so I'm not an expert in making scissors. I thought it's much easier to make it than not on your body. I don't know. Yes. Huh? Who still wants to go with that? Oh, you're saying if I put it on in the first second, if it'd be an Isser, right, if it'd be an Isser, it wouldn't help your Osik. The Osik can try to remove the Isser. You didn't succeed yet. Okay, but, exactly, okay. So then the question becomes, so is there a difference? So maybe Yaakov is right again. There's no difference. The mezuzah is exactly the same. If you say it's absurd to demand that he first put on the garment and then string the string, it should be equally absurd to demand that he first move in and then put on the mezuzah. Right? It's not technically as absurd in our own mind, but we don't have a firm source to make this distinction. Yes, Michal. I don't think that's true. I think once you walk in, you're in. That's my opinion. The Ika deer may be sleeping here for a bit, but some deer, if you're just sitting in, I don't know, running around the floors, as the kids would do when they move in. Yes? Oh, that's not kasha, because that we started the way before. Once it starts, it's okay. Yes? No, it's no good. We're suggesting a possibility that if you buy a strong beggar, all that's in the puzzle. Because that's what Yaakov was saying, it's absurd. You can't say that. But that's the other side of this chakira. You can't buy strong scissors because they were put on before you work. But no one really says that. So that's what Yaakov was saying, standing over here. That's sort of a possible distinction to be based on the psukkah, based on the sources. And it says in the pasuk, Tasa, with Tasa, Gedilim Tasala, Al Arba Kanfos Kususcha, Asher Techasaba. A Techas can either be interpreted as future tense, or as Rashi often says in Chumash, Rogil, that you're Rogil to wear. So therefore, the Gedilim Tasala can proceed. However, when it comes to the Mezuzah, we saw the Gemara in the Aflam Adalas, Uksavtam Amuzuzot Besecha Visharecha, that you have to have the Ksiva with the Kviyas after it's already. You have to have the whole bias and the whole shah, we put it all in the Rambam, etc. Therefore, one could argue that it's a requirement that it has to already be beisecha before you do the ksiva with the kviz. That's just based upon the drushas of sukkim, but that's just tentative. That's the only way I could possibly make a distinction except for a weak effort to assume that putting string on your garment when you're wearing is absurd, as opposed to knocking down afterwards. But the other way would be to base upon the absurd. But anyway, you're makavin to the sefer parshas to do it. In the case of talis, it says gedilim tasalacha al arba kampas kusuf asher techasaba. So asher techasaba, you will be mechasaba. It is regular, but not. The Pesach says on Mezuzot Beisecha, the Gemara has it in the Flam Adalit. That's the first day Beisecha Vesherecha, and that'll stop them out, which means Kriyas. What possibility? I'm against those Nivamis. Yeah. That's Sadi? What do they say? Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm not saying, of course the Kriyas only after you wear it. But the Gedilim Tasalacha. I thought that was the thing. All right. Okay. Good. Okay. I'm happy to say that you're right. But there are posts who say the fairish not that way. They say the part of Tasalacha. And also, I'm trying to defend them. Now, Reb Chaim Kanielski has a spirit of defense of the bracha principle. I can make a bracha before you move in. Or before 30 days. Listen to what he says. Interesting concept. Because he doesn't understand what the whole tool is about. He doesn't get it. Why are they making such tzaras? He doesn't get it from the perspective of Tasev Elom and Osi, as I just explained. Nor does he get it from the perspective of the bracha. This is in Siv Nun Ches. If he doesn't understand, there's a constant possibility of making a bracha before anything transpires. No problem. Look at the examples he starts to give. Remarkable example. Here. First he says about the first part. Lo zechisi lahavin kol zeh. Lam lo yuchal lekfol levarach toch lamed. O lefnei shet nichus ladebo. Exactly the same thing. Then he goes on. What's going to make a bracha? All right, b'shchita Gam kein. Ein amit zol kshirot tel lechol. Kol tera ma lechol shchita. Right? And it's bechlal amit zol lechol. Vafil hachi kshirot tel lechol mevarach ala shchita. Vechein beherev amit zol lechol tel lechol amit kein rot tel latalta velelech levashel. And that was mevarach amal erev chatzer to tchum anu tam shilin. Vayana mishum shirot tel lezeh. Vahal zech yivot tel torah. Vechein beshchita. Vechein hu adin mimezuzah. Vechein beshirot tel lechol tel lechol yuchal lekvol levarach. You know, if I'm a shechita, I need to meet right away. And the Erev, you can have to walk right away. Ma'afilu yimolech ha-chakach v'lo yikon esklal adobo. Gam kem istab ha-shein tebrochol levatolo. Kemoshim yimolech v'lo yochol esabosa, lo yitatlo v'lo yedach v'lo yivashel. Ha-kopolem osa mitzashin etzavim. V'adin betalos, etc., etc. This is what he said. This is very questionable. What Reb Chaim is saying over here. Let me explain to you why it's questionable. He said it himself. In his argument, he said it himself why it's questionable. The one phrase. The phrase was, quote, Uvalavachi ein shum mitzvah lishchol. V'chein ve'er ve'ein mitzvah lasas ve'er. So he's using it in one direction. Say, look, you can even make a bracha where there's no mitzvah. So why can't you make a bracha on the mezuzah before 30 days or before you move in? And I say, he ha no senes. The rabbi used to teach us that we make a bracha sa mitzvah on an actual mitzvah. But we also make a bracha sa mitzvah, what the rabbi used to call a matir. A matir. Who says shechita is a mitzvah to begin with? No, there's no mitzvah shechita. You don't have to eat meat. They're vegetarians. Don't eat meat. So it's not mitzvah shechita. If you want to eat meat, to be matter to eating of the meat, you have to do shechita. To be matter to a carrier, to walk a certain place, you have to make an erev. No mitzvah to make an erev. So precisely because this is a separate category called a matir, that's why, of course, the nature of the bracha is to make the bracha on the chalos haheter. If you never eat the meat, it's not a bracha lematala chas v'shalom. Because the meat was mutter. You decide at the end, I want to have milchik. And the meat goes into the garbage. But you created the heter on the meat, and the bracha is only on the heter, because there is no mitzvah. He understands it. When it comes to mezuzah, where there is a mitzvah, mezuzah is primarily a mitzvah, it may perhaps even exclusively a mitzvah, they never made a takonis bracha on a matir. That's the whole point where you can argue with his line of reasoning. He's saying, look, there's no mitzvah b'chlal to shechta to make an erev, and there's still a bracha to kav v'chol. You can make a bracha on the mezuzah before 30 days before you move in. And I say, no, adrav, he no senes. It's only by the case where there is no mitzvah. It's only a matir. So, of course, the only way to make a bracha is at the beginning when you make the chalos heter. So when there is a mitzvah, you can only make the bracha when you do the mitzvah. And you haven't done the mitzvah yet. You haven't moved in yet. And you haven't 30 days haven't passed yet. There's been no chiyuv yet. That's what I thought one could argue with the logic of Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Parsha Sedurah. That's what I thought. Now I'm looking around. Maybe someone in the room could help me out. Is there another seer about this? Is there another seer about this? Now Rav Chaim talks about the concept by talent. This is what he said. Im lohoya maisa acheres achakach. He would have made a bracha when you tied the talus. Avol kevin sheyesh mas part of the strings on the talus. Avol kevin sheyesh mas acheres shel ituf. Lo tiknu abrocha ar ituf. Why? We have the famous klal. You were only mitzaka by gemar mitzvah. So we learned this here in the sukkah. You build the sukkah, maybe a bit of a mitzvah, but you don't make the bracha till you sit in the sukkah. Right, to tie a lulav is a mitzvah, you don't make a bracha till you take the lulav. If you tie tzitzit is a mitzvah, you don't make a bracha till you put it on. Okay? But when it comes to mezuzah, there is no later action. There's walking into the house with the passion is not called any action. You're not going to make a bracha walking into the house against the Amogan Avram. So what can you do? So you have no choice but to make a bracha. What he's saying, in effect, is they would have made a bracha on making a talus and making a sukkah and making a lulav. They would have. So there was a later opportunity. So they postponed it. But if there'd be no later opportunity, you would have done it earlier. And I say, who says it's true? When the Gemara says, and basically Yerushalmi, that you're only a mitzvah, against Yerushalmi, the Gemara says, that you make a bracha only on Gemara mitzvah, so that's what it means. If it's not a matir, you only make a bracha when you have the Kiyama mitzvah. Not any preliminary stage. And not only because it's a later opportunity. If there's no later opportunity, so too bad. So therefore, the only way out of it here is to make a bracha when you fulfill the mitzvah, which when you move in. You can't make a bracha on that day before. So the reasoning is not completely compelling. Can I get nearly? Oh, fine. Now this in Reb Chaim Kanevsky's Sefer, is a very interesting thing. He makes a reference to a Pisgei Tshuva. I'd like you to all look inside, please. It's in Reish Tzadiyal. This, I think, is almost mind-boggling. Almost. Please turn to Reish Tzadiyal. Says in Shulchan Aruch, Hasocher Bayit Mechaver, Hasocher Chayel Lekvoa Bo Mezuzah. Piskei Tshuva Dalet. Ayin B'tshuva Shabbeinu Akiva Eger. Zov Simetet. Shekosa V'mishu Yotza Midirosa L'Bayit Acher Lodu Shom. Yesh Shom Mezuzah Mikvar, She'iniach Hadar Arishon, Zemukuyev Lehu Levorech Ala Mezuzah. What bracha? Parentheses. Kavanoso Shevarach Lodur B'Bayit Sheyeshu Mezuzah. The Pirchas Lekvor Lo Shaykh B'Zeh. B'Zeh Mitzvah Chadosh Lo B'Bayit Zeh. This is a Mogen Avraham who says a new text, which we never heard of, we never say. As a Mogen Avraham, you move into a house, that's considered to be a fulfillment of a mitzvah, and you make a mezuzah, a brach on the Lodur B'Bayit. Look, that's okay. That's a Mogen Avraham. I'm not faulting the Rabbi Kivega. It's already a Mogen Avraham. The Rav said we don't pass like the Mogen Avraham. Okay. Look at the next line. It's unbelievable. The next line is mind-boggling. It says, oh, nearly. The Gamahol let me base on Ezi Yamim. The Lechora Adin Tichishachos of the Baal to Yavorach Al HaMitzvah. The Bein Tayim Shalom Ahoya B'diras Beso Lohoya Lov Chovat Mezuzah. Umatzil ato chiyuv chodosh. Wow. How do you measure this? I go out for lunch. Come back and make a bracha. I want to know. No, too short a time. I go away for Shabbos. I make a bracha. I get deep. I have to go out of the house. I have to make a new bracha. What's the shear? What's the shear? Eze yamim. So I go away for Shabbos. Eze yamim. Go away, leave on Friday, come back on Sunday. Or take a long weekend, come back on Monday. Or go away for a week. Wildness. Then he says, he found the Birkei Yosef says, we don't hold from the first Mogad Avraham. We don't hold from the first sin. We don't hold from the second sin either. Shoo. We can breathe a sigh of relief. But I'm asking a more critical question of concept. You walk out of the house, you became Pontiff of Mezuzah. Pilei ploim. The nature of Zira is, you live in the house, not a prisoner in your house. The Pontiff will say, if you live in a house, in a prison, Nebuch these days, you read about it sometimes. But someone's in a prison, he's not Chayav in Mezuzah. Even if he's there for more than 30 days, more if he's there for 30 months, still, you're not Chayav in Mezuzah. Why? Because Dira Bal Karach Alosh Madir. That's not called Dira. I'm forced to be in a place. It's a normal way of Dira. I'm in the house, I'm out of the house, I'm in the house, I go away for Shabbat, I go away for a week, I come back. That is Dira. So I walked out, and all of a sudden, Pots from Mezuzah. What's Rabbi Kivega saying? It's a pella to me. To me, it's such a pella. That's what Rav Chaim Kanevsky says. He doesn't understand. You're not Pots from the Mezuzah when you walk out for a day or for a week. You're equally, you're still kind. You're still considered living in that house. I'm living in that house, except right now, I took a vacation for a week. So I'm still chayiv. Do I have a right to remove the mezuzah? I'll be a cheapskate. I have two houses. that if you have 2 hours, you should be able to afford mezuzahs. But I'll be a cheapo. So I'll have mezuzahs. I have a house in New York and a house in Florida. Lum is over. So I'll take the mezuzahs up and down in the plane. So the passion how to do that. If I live in New York and I go to Florida, I'm still living in New York. I still have a house in New York. I come back whenever I want. I have 2 hours. I'm chayvin 2 mezuzahs 12 months a year. The passion is that way. The passion is that way. You can't remove the houses. I saw in the Sefer, Piskei Shorim, if you want to look it up, it's in Simon Reish Samach Tet. He says, if I have a summer home in Lake Como, Pennsylvania, and I want to take the mezuzahs down during the winter for 10 months, I'm not how to do it. Now I do it. My summer home. He doesn't want to camp. I bought a house across the street. So I'm not the seller. I have a house. I live there all year. So it's my house. I can't take it down and bring it to Brooklyn and bring it back to my... Now, one second. Yes, baby. Nah, but that's... Of course it doesn't take it out. Now, it's true, we already pointed out that Das Kedoshim said that if I'm about to move into a house, it's if I'm already there. Home is Lodur Kedor. So I disagree with that. That's because he never made it in yet. You haven't lived there for one day. So he said you can put the mezuzah on because Omed Lodur Kedor. I didn't like that too much. But if you already moved in, and then you go out again, so you're still living there. You're considered to be living there all the time, even if you happen to be outside of the house at this particular moment. That's what I thought is another pashut. That's what I thought. Now, Reb Chaim Kanievsky tried to prove his point from here. You see that moving out of the house is like not eating the meat. And Apple Pican, no. He says that's a mat. No. You're still living there. You have a mitzvah. You become a mitzvah of having a mezuzah on your house in which you live, even if you won't go away for a week. That's just like a matter. He came from a different angle. But this is what I was discussing with someone this morning. Yesterday we saw that Pitzkei Tshuva says if you're in a house and you suddenly wake up and you see there's no mezuzah on the door, so you should leave. Right? So, right? Am I correct? But we're saying now, what good is it to you to leave? You don't accomplish anything by leaving. Let's assume he assumes there's some kind of issur involved. So leave. The Fiyani Yisayati, we discussed before in the Beis Medrash, what good is it, don't accomplish anything by leaving? You say to Mavata the mitzvah if you're in the house, you have Mavata the mitzvah if you walk out of the house. Oh, if you're packing up all your belongings, you're leaving for good. Okay, then you're okay, we'll go into the street, I'm a street person. Thus, yeah. But just to walk out of the house and to stay over at someone else's house until tomorrow morning where I can find the mezuzah in the farm store and put it on, what'd you gain? You could have stayed in the same house. You have a vat with this, vat with him, mali hocha, mali hosom. You have a vat with either way. So that's the voodoo again, the shmir again. That's I can't argue with. That's the only thing. That's my Achilles heel all the time. I keep running into the shmir business. But maybe somehow, if I sleep in that house tonight, then who knows who's going to get me there. You know, we spoke about mali hocha, mali hosom. You know the original concept. Who's going to get me there? But if I go to my neighbor's house, then I'm safe. I can't argue that kind of reasoning. But that's not what the Pitzkei Tshuva said. He said it's an issur to live, to be there. And I respond, it's an issur to be there. It's an issur to be there if you walk out also. Anyway. Fine. Now we turn to an interesting question in Pitzkei Tshuva. Reish Pei Vav Tzivkot Yudches. How do you count these 30 days? This is fascinating. Because of the Birka Yosef, Im Omar Bevayas Chop Tes Yom. Uh-oh. 29 days, I have no money. What do? V'yotza. I leave. No. Last exit before toll. No, I get out before, wait one more day, I have to pay. And then I take the side road, I come after the toll, huh? And then I come back again. Yesh this topic in Kibachazaroso beyom rishon yitzdar payom ahu l'chav tes yom shekadmu v'yushlu shloshim yom v'yesh tzadet b'zeh harav beis dovid the Beis Dovah is Mitzupik in the Shaila. Says the Pesach Shuvah, Tzarechi, and Mashna Mitalis, that the Mukha Yosef, and Nuchas Tzitza says, quote in Orach Chaim, Yudal Tzim Gimel Bar Goh, the Mechziru Tochlam of the Chaz of the Kolokho, Eino Mitzareh, the Be'inan Lamed Yom Ritzufim, Ritzufim, Pesach Shuvah, and Reish Pei Vav, Tzim Kotin Yitzchess, he ate 30 days in a row. So I'll tell you a secret. When I was growing up, there were certain summer camps. They had no money. There were sort of institutional summer camps. They had no money. And the trip ran about, 59 days. It was about just around the 8-week trip, so maybe a little bit. So what they do, I'm not kidding. It's in my memory. What they did was, at the smack midpoint of the summer, everybody went on an overnight. It was ghost town. There was no one in the place. I said, oh, Gavaldic. No mezuzahs. No mezuzahs. Hey, I can save a lot of money. Maybe I should speak to some other people. Our camp is even shorter than that. I think it's 50. It's not 60 days. It's less than 60 days. So you just will shtick. On day 30, make a trip day. Everyone has ghost town. And you pop it from mezuzahs. Hey. So a couple of things. Number one, I want to introduce a new safe. We haven't had it yet this year. But we're going to have a lot the next few days that I looked inside. All the Yeshurun. Have you heard of it? Anyone else have it besides me? Oh, it's by Rabbi Felder from Philadelphia. And it's Hilchos Mezuzah and other things. It's a Talmud of Rav Moshe. So what interests me, which I can't get anybody else, is it quotes Rav Moshe every page five times. An unprinted opinion, which you can only find in the Sefer. So he quotes Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, Avada Yechayev. The guy's in the house, let's say, for 15 days. Goes out for a day and comes back. So he's Mesupik. Is he chayiv after 15 more days? Well, you have to have 30 more days. For Moshe, they're both wrong. You chayiv after 30 days from the original count. And the day walks out in the middle, it's swallowed up. Why? Rav Moshe takes it literally. Rav Moshe understands that the reason the Socha is chayiv after 30 days is that there's an appearance, a semblance of it being yours. That's the lesson that we saw in the post. He says, the neighbors know you walked out for a day. Everybody's looking to see you when you're going out, when you're coming back. So therefore, if you're there 90% of the time, December is created that you were there for 30 days straight, so you chayav on day 31, irrespective you went away for a day or two. You don't need 30 more days, you don't even need 2 more days. That's what he quotes. If you want to look it up, it's footnote 80. That's all needed. People are looking out to see when you're leaving, when you come. He's assuming it's Rabbanan, he's assuming because it's Nira Kishalo. That's his assumption. But we already saw it, so we presumably how we passed it based on the Rosh, as we saw it in the Nachas Tzvi, I think, yesterday. Now, the Moshe the Shitasa, yeah. It's a question. From Moshe the Shitasa, that depends upon, literally, that it should be have an appearance of it being yours. What does that mean? Rav Moshe has, what if we discussed it before, I take a room, yes. No. You're talking about rental. Could be, I'll be different. Could be, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the then is not case. Could be. You rent a room in the Queen Elizabeth II. Luxury liner. Yeah. But what happens if you're there for more than 30 days? You just talk a boat. A boat. This is a city. You've got a boat. Look at the most cities. How many people put there? Thousands of people. And it's not a rowboat. This is So if there are Moshe says, maybe it should be chayav. We discussed this. It's considered our roy. We had all people about it a while ago. It's considered normally our roy. For Moshe, it's a different mahalach. It's either you're considered renting or you rent
a room in the Queen Elizabeth II. Now Moshe says, no one thinks that you bought it. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, if no one thinks that you bought it, there's no chiyuv for 30 days. A chiddush nifla, Rav Moshe.
I would have said, that's the reason behind the takana of 30 days. But once they made that takana, it doesn't matter the particulars of every situation. Rav Moshe says, no. Rav Moshe says, it'll cool in the chumrah. The chumrah, he says, if you walk out 2 days in the middle of the 30, you chiyuv for 30, not for 32, and not for 60. And the kula, in the Queen Elizabeth II, you never chiyuv at all, because no one thinks it's important. You found it here. No two footnotes. The shittas. We're going to run into a problem with offices. We'll get to that a little bit later. I hope today, if not that tomorrow. Let me go on a little bit. So listen carefully. So I saw in the Sefer Pisrei Sha'arim, which is the picture book, it was a very, very good book for science of pictures, he quotes it, Shaila, but this is not going to help camp. You have to pull out all your furniture. Pull everything out. Lift out, take out all the beds and all the clothes and all the... Then you pull all the furniture out in the middle of the 30 days. And you come back. So then the suffix exists. You walk out for a day and all your stuff is behind. There's no suffix. It's never going to be kind. This reminds me of a story my father, Shalita, would tell us in his youth. In his youth, there were a lot of empty apartments in New York City. So they give you a month of free rent, an inducement, just no matter how the world turns, an inducement to come in, a month of free rent. So what they used to do in the Lower East Side, they take the month of free rent and they move out. Every month they move. A month of free rent. That was a positive. And then they make negotiations. I'm moving out. Come back. Stay. Opposite of his mind is there. This reminds me of this. I stay for a month. I move out. We got to take everything out with you. But to pay a mover, so there's very negotiations back and forth. That's what he said. You know what he said? I thought this is not the portion, the Pisrei Sha'arim. I thought the Pisrei Sha'arim was actually wrong, as a matter of fact. I'll tell you why. Now he says this, I want to go in a kotze la kotze. You want to look up at Simon, Reish Nun Ches. Reish Nun Ches. So in Reish Nun Ches, in the Sefer, he's Lashitasa Rabotai in Reish Nun Aleph. We quote the Hore Psamim, who said that if I move into an apartment, we discussed it yesterday, but I haven't moved in yet, I put my furniture there, Yesham Shechayim Yad Bebroch. I think he's Lashitasa, that if my furniture is in a room, even though the room is designated as a place to live, and now all it is furniture, I'm chayiv anyway. You be chayiv al beis ha'otzer, which is the general phrase, beis ha'teven, beis ha'etzer, beis ha'otzer, a storage area, even though it's primarily a residence area, but it's lo gora from a warehouse. That's what he said. So memela, if I go out for a day in the middle of the 30 days, I leave all my furniture behind, so it's lo gora from beis ha'otzer, so memela is chayiv straight. That's how he phrases expressed the shaylup in reish nun ches. Yosel pinos hadir v'hotim misham kol chafotze v'chashuvim. If you leave some junk behind, chashuvim. That's what he said. But in my opinion, I want to go as follows. Listen very carefully. He says over here, like this. Let me give you a quotation. This is in Reish Nun Aleph. He says, even though it's only a base of Otsar, because only a furniture is there. Ooh, the base of Otsar ain't Mavorchim al Kfiyas HaMizudah. You know what he paskins? You don't make a bracha on Kfiyas HaMizudah. Shani Ocha Dedat Olod Rebeisa. He plans to move in 2 weeks, so it's even more Achayim. And I want to say, Min HaKot El HaKot. Even though I think we paskin, you do make a bracha on Beis HaOtzer, we'll come to that in a minute. You do make a bracha on Beis HaOtzer, but that's only if it's a warehouse, which is designated for storage. As I mentioned to you yesterday, if it's a residence, which is designated to live there, and you put some furniture there, you're not chayav. Mamish min hakotzer lakotzer. He says that even if you hold, there's no bracha on Beis HaOtzer, but you put your furniture moving in 2 weeks, you're chayav made a bracha. And I say, even if you do make a bracha on Beis HaOtzer, but
you put your furniture in and you're going to move in 2 weeks later, you can't make a bracha now. You own it because it's not chayav b'toras based also. We're going from one extreme to the other. It's a very busy day in the neighborhood. Now, what is this issue? Let's discuss it for a moment. That if I don't make a bracha on Beis Otto, still if I'm going to move into a house in 2 weeks, I put my furniture there now, I make a bracha now. Because I'm going to live there. And I say the other way around. Even if you do make a bracha on Beis Otto, you wouldn't make a bracha in this case because it's the residence. We're going from one extreme to the other. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you make a bracha on Beis Otto? Hey, guys. Do you or don't you? It's a very important question. Well, let me ask you another question. Are you chayiv Beis Otto? You still think about your Masechta Yuma? The Rabbi Sai, are you chayiv in Beis Otto? Beis Otto chayiv, what do you say? Who? What? Machloikas. Very good. It sounds like a machloikas from the Gemara. You remember the Gemara there? You saw the Gemara in Yuma? The Gemara talks about potential chiyuvim of Noshim miskashtel sham, potential peturim of Noshim rochatel sham. That's what I was figuring myself for Yuma. I asked you to see. So what's the bottom line? How do we paskin? Let's look on the Rosh and then we'll look on the Rif. Now, we should have done it a while ago, but let's use this opportunity to look at it now, and then we'll come back to this issue. Please turn to the Rosh first, if you don't mind. There we go. Simen Tes Vav. Last line of the page. Ubeis ha-teven, ubeis ha-bokar, ubeis ha-etim, v'ho-tzoros, sha-ha-noshim, rochatos pohen, turim and ha-mezuzah, hostom ha-chayovin, udalokim ha-shakosav ha-rambam zal, tzedavka k'sha-noshim iskashtos pohen, ha-de-chayev. It's a machlokas between the Rosh and the Rambam. So what do you do, gentlemen, if you are of Yosef Karo, they have a machlokas, the Rosh and the Rambam. Who breaks the tie? Who breaks the tie? Who? The Rif. Everyone turn to the Rif. I'm getting nervous. Turn to the Rif, page 12. Up to the tiebreaker, page 12, come on. What does it say? Second line of the page. Ubeis ha-teven, ubeis ha-bokar, ubeis ha-etin. Ubayis shanoshim rochos behen k'turis min ha-mezuzah. If that's the text, who is he passing, like the Rambam or like the Rosh? The Rambam. There's four separate p'turim. Beis ha-teven, beis ha-bokar, beis ha-etim, and the general bayis shanoshim rochos behen. And as a matter of fact, the Aruch HaShulchan argues rather persuasively that the Rambam usually follows the Rif. So he must have had the text that we have, and that's why he passed his partner. However, there are two ways of changing the girsa, which lead to the opposite conclusion. Right? One is that the way the Rosh seems to have had it, he took out the word ubeis. Ubeis ha-teven, ubeis ha-bakar, ubeis ha-etim, shanoshim, rochus, and pturis. The exact opposite conclusion. That if it's tam, you'd be chayev. And the Bach, I asked, he has a slightly different kinesh. What does he say? Ubeis ha-otros shanoshim roch tos pohen. Ptuos is the same thing. Either you take out the word ubeis, or you add the word ubeis ha-otros. It's technically the same thing. So deep down, I believe that the Rif is the way we have it printed, because the Rambam usually follows the Rif. But what can I tell you? Rav Yosef Karo, the other gear, says, he passed in that beis ha-otros is chayiv and mezuzah. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, he decided, Aruch HaShulchan, you should not make a bracha. But he can see that the Minig Yisrael is the Mega Bro. That's the bottom line of this whole thing, that the Minig Yisrael, as found by the Shulchan Aruch and the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this Minig. It's possibly based upon a misread of the Rif. Nonetheless, that's the Minig Yisrael. In any event, let's go back to our discussion. My Yisod, Rabotai, which I thought was fighting with the author of Piskei Sharim, guess where I found it? Where I found it? In the Piskei Sharim. Same book, the same Simen, almost the same page. In Simen Reish, in Sif Reish Samach. A lot of Sifim here in this
That's what he says. L'chein mi she'soket dira v'eino darba v'eino makas shal chapatav al achar kama chadashim. Tigon, I told you yesterday's example. Chosen she'mechin dira l'atma v'lo yodah bar achar yachasana eino masel l'imnel shloshim yom ad shikonis l'odaba v'lo mishas achnosas chapatav. Here it is. The tukhara mayisot. Incidentally, in the same page, he discusses the question of the Piskei Tshuva of 29 days out and back another 29 days. He says as follows. If it is, this is what he says, if it's a Chiyuv the Rabbanan like Talis, then Piskei Tshuva is right. You're not right. If it's a Doraisa Zikadim, which is the other day, then possibly she should be Chayuv. And the Piskei Tshuva, the Shitasa, we hold it's only the Rabbanan, which is the Halacha L'Maisa anyway. But now I have another Piskei Sha'orim. Listen to this one now. Sif Reish Pei. Vinyan HaYeshiva V'chari HaPnimiya Dor Mitori Shegorim V'bachuri HaYeshiva. What did he say? 2 days. Meikir Adin Pturim Mimezuzah. This is unbelievable. Mind-boggling. Potter and Gans Shein Oli Mezuzah. No Mezuzah. V'yesh Amim Shachiyuv hu al balei batim, the hanhal of the yeshiva. Yikvu b'liberach. That's what he suggests. Now, then he writes in parentheses, uvifrat she'er she'yesh l'chol ha'chadorim din beis ha'otzer kevan she'yesh v'hem rehitim she'em rechush ha'yeshiva k'deleel. And therefore, Yechayev is a Beis HaOtzer. Now, wait a minute. We go back the other way. Here's saying that a Beis HaOtzer is Yechayev, even though it's a Beis Dira. So there's serious galore in this sefer, in this same simon, whether a Beis Dira could be Chayev qua, the Torah, Beis HaOtzer or not. And I thought personally the answer was no. And the serious. Perhaps the answer to the serious is as follows. It depends on whose perspective you're coming. If I'm a chosen moving into an apartment, from my perspective, it's a Beis Dira. I'll get married, I'm going to move in there. So you can't even mechayev me out of Beis HaOtzer. But if I'm a president of a yeshiva, and I have a yeshiva which I'm going to have Tamina come into, so from my perspective, it's a Beis HaOtzer. I don't live there. I'm going to have other, either people and or things in there. So from my perspective, perhaps you could, although it's meant for residents, not meant for the owner's residence. So therefore, perhaps he would maintain in this kind of a case, you could be mechayev out a Beis HaOtzer, which fits into the Nimukei Yossi from yesterday. The Nimukei Yossi, which yesterday said, if I'm a landlord and no one, now the apartment is empty, I could be mechayev similar to the concept of Beis HaOtzer. I meant for a dira. Again, from the perspective of the landlord, he needs to make money. So if someone wants to move in there, someone wants to store tables there, he gets a rent check. So then from his perspective, perhaps you can say that someone else's deal and someone else's also not that different from the landlord's perspective. But from the tenant's perspective, I think it's a fundamental difference and you would be, in fact, part. Huh? Whatever. Getting back to the yeshiva, my view is that the hanhola to yeshiva is chayim. The Hanhola to Yeshiva is Chayev. And where's the concept of this? It's like Punduk. If you're a Baal HaPunduk, the Oroch HaShulchan writes, I have to see, Sifmem Ches, there's a Baal HaPunduk is Chayev. If I own a hotel, people come in and out. Or I own a summer camp, people come in and out. The Hanhola of the camp, the owner of the camp, he's Chayev in the Mezuzah. He's not living there, he lives in the city. Doesn't make a difference. The other people are living there as his, in effect, as his guest, at his pleasure. How do you define that? Are they rented? They pay good tuition? Who knows how many thousands of dollars? Here's the criterion, Rabbi Shai. If he can remove them from their beds and say, you leave that bunk and move to this bunk, the mere fact that he has the ability to move them from one place to the other makes him considered a pundakoi and not a socher, and therefore, the chiyuv is not on the dweller, the chiyuv is on the owner. and therefore the owner of the yeshiva, however that's defined, the owner of the camp, however that's defined, in my opinion, it's chayav in the mezuzah. Yes? Good question. Is there a chiyuv on the pundukai himself? So the Gemara says in Masechta Menachos explicitly. What does it say explicitly? If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you chayav what? No, let's open the Gemara. Memdala Menala. We didn't forget the Gemara. Mem Dalet Amen Aleph, the Gemara says, Hadar bepundik v'eret Yisrael, v'asoch ha'bayit v'chutzlars, kol shlol shimyo potim, v'zimikav v'lechayim. What's missing here, Rabbi Yisrael? What's missing? It's obvious he's missing. What case is missing? Hadar bepundik v'chutzlars. Nowhere in Talmud Bavli has it been found. However, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, it's mefurish that you're potter. Nachtin and chadarga. Nachtin, you go down one step. If you're chayiv in Eretz Yisrael after 30 days, you're potter and chutzlaret completely. A socher is chayiv in Eretz Yisrael immediately, and chayiv and chutzlaret after 30 days. Mefurish in Yerushalayim is also mesech the mezuzah. Is that the fairish? But the Aruch HaShulchan says, no. Either they didn't have the Yerushalayim, or they didn't hold out the Yerushalayim. So that's the Yerushalayim and the mesech the Megillah. There's a mefurish in the Yerushalmi, but the Aruch HaShulchan disagrees in Siman Reish Pei Vav. Disagrees. Now, what's the lumnus over here? I'll give a case which the Aruch HaShulchan also has, the Siv Gimel. This happens l'maisa. The maid's room. Even in Riverdale, he'll have maid's rooms. Kavachaymer and other Mekaymers. So, there's a maid's room. They have a non-Jewish maid. And she lives in that room, and she's there the whole time. Am I mechayev in the mezuzah? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, absolutely yes. I don't know. Goyis potter? Not goyis. It's my base dira. I sleep in one room, my child sleeps in another room, my maid sleeps in the third room. I don't have a shteitzach. You know, you have to have a child and a maid. No, a shteitzach. I mean, so the child is one day old. He's like, what, he's not chayev in the mezuzah? No, I'm chayev in the rice to the mezuzah when my child sleeps. And so also when my maid sleeps. That's the nature of the dira. You have a child and a maid. So you the balabas, the mechuyav in both cases. Yes. Hold on. In my opinion, technically speaking, perhaps yes. Perhaps. But the technical chiyav v'dika, there are other problems of value by your mother. But technically speaking, I think you're probably right. Now hold on a minute. He writes over here also, in Reish Ayin Ches, a Jewish hospital, the hospital director that requires mezuzah in every room. Albert Einstein College of Medicine Hospital, in my opinion, is a Jewish hospital. I believe. I'm not 100% sure of this, but I believe it's true. But I'll tell you, it's not so pushing. Who owns the Albert Einstein College of Medicine? The board of directors of Yeshiva University. Who's on the board of directors of Yeshiva? Are they all Jewish? I think so. So that's Jewish. I had a problem with that. Rabbi Spurn, the chaplain in Mount Sinai Hospital, called me and Rav Shechter once. They're putting up a hole in the wing. That's put mezuzahs in every door. Awful lot of mezuzahs. So the answer is, if Mount Sinai Hospital is Jewish, the answer is yes. But is Mount Sinai Hospital Jewish? That's a Jewish name, Mount Sinai. The original name is Bikachol, you know that? Yeah, the reason it's bigger home. If you see some of the old linen or the old floors, bigger home. But who's the board of directors over there? All kinds of people. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I'm sure I don't know. It depends on the majority. And then the government gets involved now. There's these mega hospitals now. Everything's mixed, not the fuel with this, with the Catholic hospital. It's everyone's just conglomerate. I'm not sure what's a Jewish hospital, but if it will be a Jewish hospital, Shari. Tzedek, Baruch Hashem, is a Jewish hospital. Bikacholim in the Dortmund there, in the Gula there. That's a good Jewish hospital. So they're chayiv in the mezuzah. It's not the people come in there before sick. It's Don Hollis chayiv in the mezuzah. Let's see what's in Reish, Ayin Ches. And therefore, I've also, the joke is on the camp. When they say, we'll kick somebody out after 29, everyone leaves. And therefore, there'll be no chiyuv. They're 100% wrong, as he points out here in the Sefer. Because if the chiyuv be on the kids and they leave in the 29 days, not those. The chiyuv is on the camp itself, the board of directors of the camp. They're chayiv. And they kick the kids out. It doesn't make one bit of difference. Doesn't matter what, at all.
They're going to have three trips of 3 weeks each as I grew up. 3 weeks, or even here, each trip, let's say they have a gzeira. You can't stay more than one trip. That's not when I was going to Camp Deal in the 50s. You couldn't stay without any money then. You only stay 3 weeks. Couldn't stay longer. Everybody, they shifted the whole population changed after 3 weeks. So no, Potter and Ganser, wrong! The whole of the camp is higher. Kavachoma won't help if they can walk out for a day. That's the right over here in the Sefer Pesach Hashem. He's 100% right. He's 100% right. Yes. I won't go into that now, but that's if the guy is Solcher. That's the good Hadar, that's the Sugin Perik Hadar, Mesech, the Erevin. Now, if you haven't been told someone there now. No. Now, hold on. I did see, though, in the Chovas Adai, he wants to suggest that I'm only chayev in my maid's room if the maid is in my house. If the maid lives down the block, she also has to have a house. So then, does that work over there? FT? But you have their own house to make. Not just live in my house. Not enough privacy to live in my house. So they sat down on the block. There's a beautiful picture of it over here, even in this book, that you're possible. And the Chovas Da'at concedes that the Aruch HaShulchan is probably against him. But he says it anyway. I think he's wrong. The Aruch HaShulchan is right. But Dafka Mi, if it's here, it's there. I'm just mentioning to the man of Emes. And therefore, I thought that for this reason, as long as the Balabas can move you from place to place, you're only a Puntakai, you should be potter in your office. I have an office in the middle of the Empire State Building. But I'm a worker. I'm an accountant. I work in one of the big six. So they give me a little dollar office dog, but after 5 years, I even have a tour at the Pesach after 5 years. So then they put you in one of those things. It's not even a tour. You know what goes on there. 5 years I make a tour at the Pesach, Baruch Hashem. They can still move me from down the road to down the hall of some fat cat wanted for his son-in-law. I don't know what that. So they can move me around. So I think that they should be part there for that reason. Rav Moshe says that you chayv anyway. Why you chayv anyway? Because it's low shchiach for the boss to move you around from office to office. I don't know how low shchiach it is. And